Now, I have to admit that this is one of those sermons, if I'm not careful, it will come across to you and maybe even myself as a sales pitch on why you should tithe. And I don't want to do that. I want the Holy Spirit to lead you to be a generous, gracious giver. As we have said throughout this series, and I'll say it a couple of times today even, this is not about what God wants from you. This is what God wants for you. This is what your pastor, what your staff, what your church wants for you, not from you. God will always provide the needs of His church, but He allows us to be partners with Him as He allows us to give. As we've said throughout this series, it's not just giving of our money, our financial resources. It's also giving of our time and our talent. As we look at some of the things in a few moments that God is going to be doing programming-wise through the life of your church, we need to understand that it's going to take your time, your commitment, your volunteering, your jumping into service, using your talent that God has given you and uniquely gifted you with in order for us to accomplish all that God wants us to do through the life of Lakeside Baptist Church in 2018. But specifically, this message today will be about giving of our financial resources. But the principles, I believe, apply equally as well to those other areas of time and talent. One of the great things that's happened in recent years is that there's become an intersection between secular business principles and biblical leadership principles. And those have begun to overlap more and more. And for so many years, for way too many years as a pastor, I felt like if anything was out in the secular world that it didn't apply or it wouldn't work in church. And I have discovered that is simply not true. Now, we have to walk a fine balance in that and say that, you know, the church is not a business. There are certain aspects of it. We do have a budget and all those kinds of things, and those are business-oriented, and I understand that. But the church is not a business, and we should not run it as such. But there are principles in the business world that we can look at and we can use and we can adapt in the church. And vice versa, as Pastor Mark has pointed out on many occasions, the secular business world, and most of you work in that field, have figured out that biblical principles of 2,000 or even thousands of years beyond that work in the real world, do they not? And so there's become this overlap of principles between the business world and the Christian world. And I believe one of those is found in what Simon Sinek, he's a leading voice in organizational development and organizational growth, what he calls the golden circle. And he says that any organization that succeeds at what it does starts with three questions in concentric circles. The innermost circle is why. Why do we do what we do? Secondly, how do we do? Thirdly, what is it that we do? So there's why, how, and what. Today, I want us to take a look at, in a broad scale, I want us to look at why. Why do we tithe? Why do we do what we do as a church? Why do we ask? Why does God ask us to be a part of what He's doing? But secondly, we're going to look at the how we go about doing that, and the third is what we do. And we're going to take it a little bit, we're going to start on the outside circle, work our way in, and then I think you'll see it kind of unpack as we go back out to the outer circles as well. So stick with me through all of that. So today we begin to look at what are we doing? And that is, as a church, as Lakeside Baptist Church, we are taking the gospel to every person of every age, of every tongue, of every socioeconomic background, of every generation. We are taking the gospel to them. And you see it on the walls, by embracing the generations, by equipping the family, by engaging the world for Christ. This is a vision that God laid on the heart of your staff a couple of years ago, and we presented it to the church, and we truly believe that this is what God, these are the marching orders that God has given us. But we extend that, so we embrace every generation, we equip families, we engage the world by giving graciously and generously and obediently of our time and our talents and our tithes. So you see that we have the opportunity to join the work of God as we give of ourselves, that we might reach every generation, every tongue, every socioeconomic background. So today we're going to look at the why. We're going to start with the why. Why do we tithe? why do we give? And let me just right off the top unapologetically say, the tithe, that top 10%, is what God requires of every one of His followers. It's not something that you hear much today, but I believe it's still a biblical principle that God calls Christ's followers to give the top 10% to Him. Over and above that, we give our offerings that we freely, willfully, generously, graciously give to God. The starting point, in my opinion, based on the Word of God, the starting point is 10%. Now, let me say to you, I know that some in here today, you're not giving, or you say, Pastor, I can't do that. First of all, God says you can, and we're going to talk about that. But secondly, start where you are. Okay? Start where you are. So why do we tithe? Now, by the way, I don't get to preach very often, right? So typically a sermon would be 3 points in a poem. I'm packing two into one. I got 6 points today, so y'all just stay tuned, all right? So when we tithe, first, we express God's preeminence in our lives. When we tithe, when we give to God, we express God's preeminence in our lives. If you have your Bible, let me invite you to turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi, that's the last book of the Old Testament. So if you get to Matthew, hang a left, all right? And we're going to look at Matthew 3. Most of the scriptures will be up on the screen today, but if you have your Bible, I encourage you to open it up. There's something to me. I'm old-fashioned. I like reading it in black and white on a piece of paper that I can touch. So we're going to be looking at Malachi chapter 3. As soon as I get out of there and get out of Micah. There's a difference between Micah and Malachi. Let me read the entire passage there of chapter 3, starting in verse 6, actually. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. By the way, the Israelites had just returned to the promised land after about 700 years of exile. And they had come back to the land that God had promised them and given them. They were reestablishing themselves as a nation. But in the process of doing so, they had brought all their pagan rituals and stuff that they had learned in these times of scattering. And they had gotten away from their pure worship of God and had gotten away from being the holy people of God. And that's why God says, return to me. I returned you to your land, now you return to me. But you ask, how are we to return? What do you mean by that, God? We're here. We're in the promised land that you gave us. What do you mean, how do we return to you? But you ask, how are we? He says, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God, he asks. And yet, you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? And he answers, in tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation, because you are robbing me. Then he goes on to say, bring, and we all know this verse if you've been in church any length of time, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. When we give, we express God's preeminence in our lives. Back up just a couple of pages if you're in your Bible. Malachi 1:8. And we see this. It says, when you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering those to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Now, what we need to understand is that tithes and offerings to the Israelite nation, they were an agricultural nation. They were agrarian. And so what they brought was not money. What they brought was of their crops and of their animals, of their pens. And so they would come and God had commanded them way back in the Old Testament to bring the best of the best of the best. But what was happening is many of them were looking in the old stock pen there and went, well, that old sheep's about to die anyway. I'll take that one to the priest. That one's got a broken leg, not good for much. I'll take that one. This fruit is about to rot. I guess I'll take that. Now, when you put it that way, it almost becomes laughable, does it not? I mean, wow, how dumb were they? Did they really think they were going to get away from that? But can I just say, in today's world, that's often what we do. We say, well, I'm not really going to miss this, so I'm okay giving that to God. This is not really going to hurt me that bad. I'm okay giving that to God. So what was happening is many were offering their runts, their leftovers, their second best. But if God truly has our heart, we graciously give Him our best. You see, we lavish our best on those that we love most. I shared this story in the first service, and I got called out on it by one of our staff members. But Christmas was just a few weeks ago, and we sat around the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, and we opened gifts, and we love to give our kids gifts, and they opened all theirs, and they were very pleased and happy, and got some things they weren't expecting, and they love Christmas, and it's all you can do to keep them from wanting to open the gifts on Christmas Eve and say, I love just teasing and torturing them. Dad, can we go ahead and open the gifts tonight? No, it's not Christmas. You just make them wait just 12 more hours, just because it just makes me feel better that I can control that, But we open the gifts on Christmas morning, and they're all happy. And I love giving them gifts. Although I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I'm so grateful that my wife, her love language is not gifts. You have no idea how much pressure that takes off of me. Are y'all familiar with five love languages? Words of affirmation and acts of service, those things. And one of them is gifts, and I'm just grateful that my wife, she's not a gifts person. But who did I save the best gifts for? Thank you. Right, this sweet little blonde right down here, I saved my best gifts I gave to her. I'm just going to brag on myself. Those diamond stud earrings that I gave her, I was proud of myself, all right? I was proud. And some crystal earrings. Are you wearing them today, honey? No? I should have told you I was going to use that as an illustration. But I was so proud because I gave the best stuff to my wife. Because you know what? I unapologetically tell my kids, I love you, but mama comes first. I love my wife more than anything in the world. She's a gift from God to me, and I'm so grateful. And so I give her the best of the best of the best. Now, I didn't buy her the cheap flat iron that she wanted, but that's a different story. I found out you're not supposed to spend $15 on a flat iron. I don't even know what a flat iron is, all right? But apparently you're not supposed to spend $15 on one. You're supposed to spend more. So I lived and learned, okay? But I wanted to give her the best that I could give her because I want her to know that I love her the most. And I say all that to say, you know what? God loves us the most. God loves us the best. God loves you more than you could ever love yourself. God loves you more than any other person on this planet could ever love you. And God gave His best on the cross where Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for your sin and for mine. Amen? God gave us His absolute best. And what He says is, if you will give me the best of what you have, it will demonstrate your love for me, and it demonstrates His preeminence in our lives. That He is first and foremost. In that same chapter, Malachi chapter 1, we see Him say, again, He kind of repeats what He said a moment ago, and you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously. I love that word. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals or offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hand? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock, and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, he says, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Can we give our best to God just to show Him that He is first and foremost in our lives? When we give God our first tithe, we reconfirm our priorities and our values in life. I'm not going to brag on myself because I am far, far from perfect in this area. But I will tell you that I have it automatically set up. We have it automatically set up that when we get paid, it's an automatic draft. Comes straight to the. I mean, it goes straight to the church. straight to God. I never see it, never write a check. I've said before, now there's a danger in that. I'm going to chase a rabbit for a second, because what we have to, for those of us who give online, which is a great way to do that, I'm just going to be real pragmatic for a moment, all right? But it's a great way to do that. We have to make sure we're teaching our kids that we do that. For me, growing up, I always saw my mom with that offering envelope that she took to church and she filled it out and dropped it, you know, either in Sunday school, yes, Sunday school, or in the offering plate. And so I physically saw my mom and dad giving to the church. We have to make sure we're teaching our kids, yes, we give, you just don't see it because we do it electronically, okay? Nice plug for online giving, right, Martha? You're welcome, all right? But when we give, we prioritize, we reorganize our priorities and our values. It comes first. Secondly, when we give, we embrace God's promises. We embrace God's promises. See, Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house." What's he say next? Say it. Yes. Test me. Test me. Try me. This, by the way, is a two-way test. If you've been in church any time, if you ever heard a sermon on Malachi 3, you know that this is the only place that we can find in Scripture where God says, try me, test me out. It's almost like I dare you. I triple dog dare you, try me in this thing. Now, there's all kinds of commands. There's all kinds of ways that God says, obey me. This is the only one where He says, test me, try me. Let me prove myself. He says, test me. It's a two-way test. Will we be found faithful? But also, will God be found faithful? When you look at the word tithe, it comes to the root of it is a tenth part. A tenth part, or 10% as we would translate today. And there's something significant about this number 10, and I never quite picked up on this, but when you look at the plagues in the Old Testament, way back further in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, how many plagues were there? 10. How many commandments did God give to His people? 10. Of course, there's a whole lot more, but the 10 commandments that we know of. Israel was tested how many times in their wilderness experience? 10. Daniel was tested 10 times in the first chapter of the book of Daniel. We see that there's something about that number 10. We see an association with the number 10 and the idea of testing. And see, God says, I want to test you, and I want to test your heart, and I want to test your love for me by you giving a tenth of what I have given you. But then He says, try me. Test me. See, I'm going to test you, but with that 10% you give me, you test me. You see, God is eager to prove Himself. God wants to prove Himself. God wants to prove His promises to be true. But He can't if we don't give Him the opportunity by our faithfulness. You know, you've heard Pastor Mark say, and I'll repeat it again today, God can do so much more with that 90% that we have left than the 100% that we try to hold on to. And God will multiply that, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. So we express God's preeminence, we embrace God's promise, and thirdly, we experience God's provision when we give. We experience God's provision. Again, Malachi 3, verses 10 through 12, bring the whole tithe in the storehouse, there may be food in my house, test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. Pour out so much more blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your field will not drop their fruit. And He says, all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. We see in here three types of blessings, and they somewhat overlap, but I want to just point this out to you today. Three types of blessings that we see in here. And the first is a personal blessing. We read earlier in the responsive reading time of Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. See, God promises if we give that He will bless us back personally. We look in the New Testament. Jesus said, in Luke 6:38, He says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You hear all the pronouns in that? You give, I will bless you. It will be given to you. God wants to personally bless us as we give. Philippians 4:19, we know it well, says, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." And 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Now, sometimes that may be a physical blessing. Sometimes that may be a material blessing. Sometimes it may be He blesses us with a heart for other people. I love to be around people who have the gift of generosity. It blesses me. Sometimes I'm the recipient of that, you know, but it blesses me to be around people who just have that gift to give away to other people. And I realize that for some people, this is an easier gift than others, an easier discipline than others, because some of you in this room have the spiritual gift of giving. If you don't, it doesn't excuse us. It just makes it a little more difficult for us. But God wants to bless us personally. Secondly, we see personal blessings, but we also see material blessings. Verse 11 of this passage says, "I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops." In another translation, it says, "The devourer will not come, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it's ripe." What is he saying in that? He's saying, if you will give, I promise that what you have will go further and last longer and do more. It's that 90% principle. He says, I will keep things from being destroyed. You will have everything you need and more. And I believe it's right here in this principle that God says you're going to see the material blessing because you're going to realize what you don't need, and God's going to bless you with what you do need. Amen? I'm going to tell this quick story again at the risk of making this about me, but just last week I was sitting right down here on the front row during this service when Pastor Mark was preaching, and we talked about Christmas a few moments ago, and I've really been wanting a new TV. I want a 65-inch Ultra HD 4K smart TV, hooks up the internet. All this. I've really been wanting a TV. I'm just going to confess to you. I don't need it. I've already got two nice flat-screen TVs in our home. But one of them's getting old. It's getting dim. It's harder to see. That may be me getting old, but it's getting harder to see. And so I wanted a TV. And I mean, all Christmas long, I looked and I just couldn't pull the trigger on it. And last week in the middle of the sermon, God, I mean, as audibly as it could be, God said, "Don't buy that TV. Give that same money to the Great Commission offering." Hello, God, I don't think I heard that right. But God, you don't understand. I want that TV. God says, "Don't buy the TV. Give that money to the Great Commission offering." So when we fill out our commitment card here in just a few moments, that money is going to the Great Commission offering because that's what God called me to do. And in the process, here's what I believe. I have to be careful because I don't want to get into prosperity theology. God's going to bless me. He didn't tell me I couldn't get the TV. He said, "Not now." He said, "Give to me first, and then we'll talk about the TV, okay?" So one day I'm going to stand here. As a matter of fact, one day I'm going to invite you all over to our house, and we're going to watch Saints football on that TV, okay? But maybe that's why they lost. Maybe that's something to do. Okay. Anyway, God didn't say I couldn't have it. He said, "Not now. Give to me first." You understand that? God says, "Give to me first." And I believe God's going to bless me. All right? Thirdly, spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. Look at the last part of that passage in chapter 3 where it says, "Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land." Wouldn't you love that word blessed to be hung around your neck? That people would look at us and say, "You are truly blessed." God says if you will give and you will give graciously, then people will see you as a blessed people. You see, we see a principle in here that is critically important for us. And if you don't write anything else down, let me invite you to write this down today. When we give generously, we increase our capacity to receive generously. When we give generously, we increase our capacity to receive generously. Let's look at some Old Testament scriptures as it relates to this. Deuteronomy 14:29, God teaches, "At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites, who you'll remember had no source of income, who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the foreigners and the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied. So there were, he says, bring it to me, bring it to the storehouse, so that these can be taken care of. But look at the last part of that. So that the Lord your God may bless who? You in all the works of your hands. The Lord may bless you. Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. Deuteronomy 28:8. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns, on everything you put your hand to. The Lord God will bless you in the land that He is giving you. Deuteronomy 28:12 says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. We see over and over again that God wants to bless us. So when we give, we express God's imminence, we embrace God's promise, we experience God's provisions and His blessings. I'm halfway done. That's the good news, all right? Number four. When we give, we expand God's praise. That verse that we looked at a few moments ago, Proverbs 3:9, says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. See, coming in here on a Sunday morning and singing songs is a great form of praise. Living our lives in obedience is a greater form of praise. Honoring the Lord with our first fruits is a great form of praise to our God. When we give, we expand His praise. We say, God, You are God, I am not. God, You are in control of all things. God, You are the giver of all things. Lord, thank You for what You have given me, and I praise You for it. And Lord, I give my life to You because You are worthy of my praise. And so, God, I give You what You ask of me, and I honor You with my wealth. Number five, we execute God's plan. See, it's here that when we give, that God allows us to partner with Him, as we said a few moments ago. And let me say this to you, tithing is not a church doctrine, okay? It's not a church doctrine. This is tithing, giving is a personal doctrine. It's meant for you, and it's meant for me. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. Verses 1 and 2. Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian church to do. Paul is giving instruction to the church at Corinth, just like he had it there to the Galatian church. He says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections have to be made. The key phrase in that is each one of you. See, God says this is a personal doctrine. This is about you. Your family, me, my family, our personal obedience, our personal exercise of faith. It's a personal doctrine. But it's through the giving that God executes His plan. What is His plan? To take the gospel and to make disciples. And He allows us to be a part of that. Let's look at the next point and tie these two together. The last point is this, is that when we give, we extend God's program. When we give, we join God in His plan to reach the nations with the gospel of Christ. When we give, these cute little phrases on these banners don't just hang on a wall, but they start to become a reality. So what is God's program? Look at Matthew 28:19-20. You know this passage if you've been in church any length of time. It was the last words of Jesus before He went back to His Father. He said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Surely I am with you to the very end of the age. What is God's program? To go to the nations, to make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them, and to teach obedience. We as Lakeside Baptist Church get to be a part of that. More importantly, you and me. Individually, we get to be a part of that. And the first step in doing that is that we give generously to God of our time, our talents, and our finances. So these cute little phrases on the wall that God gave us, it's more than just a cute phrase on the wall. It's our marching orders. It's our action plan to join God in His program of making disciples in all the nations. Today when you came in, I hope you picked up a worship guide. And inside of that is this little piece right here, this card. And on the back of it, we have listed some of the things that we feel like God has laid on our hearts to do through the first few months of 2018. I want to encourage you, take this home with you. Put it on your refrigerator, your mirror, wherever you keep stuff. Go ahead and put these dates in your calendar on your phone. I know nobody keeps a handwritten calendar anymore. If you do, come see me. We got another topic for you. But take these dates and go ahead and put them in. And let me say to you, you see that we really are taking the vision statement that we have and we're putting feet to it and we're putting action to it, because we believe that this is what God is calling us to do and this is how we're going to go about doing it. This is the what and this is the how. All right. So we want to invite you to join us in what God is doing this year. This is going to take a lot of us volunteering our time and our talents to do so. All of this, I mean, every one of these takes volunteers to do it. This is not a staff-driven, staff-led calendar right here. This is all of us jumping in together to accomplish the work of God. It's also going to take us committing our financial resources to the work of God in order to do these things. And so what I want to say to you is that if you want to embrace generations, equip families, and engage the world for Christ, first of all, jump in right here. And then secondly, let's join God by giving of the financial resources and the time that we have and the talents that God has bestowed upon us, that we might accomplish what He's called us to do in the year 2018. Let me give you a couple final thoughts and I'll be done. Number one, tithing is a discipline. Tithing is a discipline. And like anything worth doing, it's worth learning and training ourselves and beginning the practice and practice it over and over and over again. If you've ever learned to ride a bike, you know how you get on that bike and you know, you take the dad takes the training wheels off and you get on that bike and boy, you're just kind of wobbly. Remember those days? And you think, okay, Daddy, please don't let go. Whatever you do, don't let go, Daddy. I'm going to fall, Daddy, if you let go. And Daddy starts running behind you, and that wheel just it stays wobbly, and you're learning how to do that front wheel so that you balance it out. And Daddy's going a little bit faster, and you go, slow down, Daddy. No, 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 we're going to keep going. Slow down, Daddy. No, 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 we're going to keep going. And pretty soon you get speed up, and pretty soon before you realize it, you've gotten that balance going. And then you look back and you realize, hey, Daddy let go of the seat. I'm doing this on my own. You remember those days? Everybody shake your head this way. I know some of you, it's been a long time. Okay, you go ahead and shake your head this way. All right. But you look back and all of a sudden you realize I kept going at it. Now, very, very few people learn how to ride a bike the very first time, right? It takes a little bit of a stop and a start and getting it right and learning. And there may be some falls along the way. And you know what? This idea of giving and this idea of tithing is perhaps the same way. And you say, Pastor Steve, I just don't know how I can do that. Well, I still believe that the tithe is a starting point, but if you can't start there, start somewhere and just let Daddy hold on to the bike seat for you for a little while, okay? But it's a discipline, and you will learn. The more you give, God's going to open up your heart, and you're going to want to give more. But it's a discipline. Just like praying and fasting and reading our Bibles, those are disciplines that we do to expand room for God to do His work. And as we give, God expands His work in us. And again, our capacity to do that work. So tithing is a discipline, but it is also a decision. A decision that we have to make. Pastor Mark has mentioned over the last couple of Sundays that we're going to offer and provide for you today a commitment card. And I hope that as a family, husbands, wives, families, whatever your family unit is, that you've perhaps taken time before today to talk about this. But we want to just ask you to be a part of what God is doing. You'll notice on here there's no place to sign it. We're not going to call you. We're not going to harass you. We're not going to look up in August and say, you haven't given 50% of what you said you were going to. This is between you and God. Strictly between you and God. So we're going to ask you, it's a two-part deal. you see it's perforated. We're going to ask you to take the big part. And we're going to ask you to fill that out. And there's three, we're going to keep it simple, three opportunities for you. The first is our ministry budget. That's where the tithe should go. The tithe that you give back to God should go to the ministry budget. That is the storehouse that Malachi talked about. That is bringing that to the church body. Not that we might pay the bills, but that we might accomplish this vision that you see on the wall. The second opportunity is the Great Commission offering. Every dollar that goes in there goes directly to mission fields, starting here in Texas and literally going around the world. We have a $50,000 goal that our missions team has set for us, and we're a little over halfway there. We've a $150,000 goal, and we're getting there. We're about halfway there, and we believe that God's going to accomplish great things by your faithfulness to the Great Commission offering. And then thirdly, our campus expansion. As you see, the lobby is undergoing, well, it's gone. But we're building a new lobby. We've got an outreach center being built. There's other projects that the church approved a year or so ago. We're in the process of developing those just so that we can continue to make a place where more people can come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the finance team, the stewardship team, the leadership of your church wants to invite you and encourage you and ask you to pray about how will you give to these things. Again, this is not what we want from you. This is what we want for you. This is what God wants for you. So in a few moments after response time, we're gonna have a time of offering. And perhaps today you decide, you know what, I've never given. Maybe today you give a dollar in the offering plate and that's where you start. Maybe God is saying, you know what, God has blessed us. We can give a little bit more than we usually do today. Guests, if you're here with us today, all we want from you is your guest connection card, if you would do that for us. But we want from everybody who's a member of Lakeside Baptist Church, if you're prepared today, we want to invite you and encourage you just to fill out and turn in the little small part of this. You keep the big part, put it wherever you'll see it, turn in the small part, just so we can celebrate what God is doing through the life of Lakeside.